what does it mean that a big phone company is about to buy such a big chunk of Yahoo? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Sources are telling Reuters that Verizon will purchase the main part of internet giant Yahoo for about $5 billion. The announcement could come as early as today. That means Yahoo Mail, instant messaging, handful of popular websites go to Verizon. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace is tracking this emerging deal. Lewis, let's get right to it. What is Verizon getting out of this?
Well, I put that question to Eric Gordon. He's a professor at the Ross School of Business at University of Michigan. He says, essentially, Yahoo used to be cool.
Now it's the middle-aged guy who's bald and has a gray ponytail.
And that said, it does have a decent search engine, websites like Yahoo Finance and Sports. And he says the big thing is users, all the Yahoo users that are going to go to Verizon.
And what? Remember, Verizon acquired AOL last year, another internet company out of the Pleistocene era. How's all this fit together?
Well, AOL had actually been undergoing a real transition and gotten pretty good at targeted advertising. Here's Eric Gordon again.
It went from being the people that sent you those annoying CDs to turn you into an AOL user into a pretty sophisticated company under its new CEO.
That's CEO Tim Armstrong. Today's deal is going to create this kind of mashup of AOL's ad technology with Yahoo's users and sites. For Verizon, this is all about what they call monetizing the mobile customer, aka figuring out how to turn your eyeballs into profits whenever you're staring at your smartphone. Eric Gordon says the competition, that is Google and Facebook, are really, really good at that.
They send you ads that actually have some chance of having something to do with your life. Instead of getting ads for swimming pool cleaning robots when you live on the 50th story of a building in Chicago.
And Yahoo CEO Marissa Meyer likely to leave the company, taking $55 million in severance with her.
All right, Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thank you. Let's check the numbers. The 100 share index in London is down 0.2% here. The DAX in Germany, the other way, up 0.8%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down slightly, as if the Dow were down about 2 points, for instance. The Democrats are gathering in Philadelphia right now to kick off their convention tonight. We have a team in place with a pop-up podcast called Politics Inside Out, the insiders and the outsiders instead of left versus right. Let's get a snapshot on the economy now with one convention down and one to go. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman from the desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting.
Economist Michael Strain at the American Enterprise Institute doesn't like giving the economy an overall grade based on a single moment snapshot of all the data, but he did it for me anyway.
For July 2016, I think you'd have a very good grade. The last jobs report was extremely good. The unemployment rate is quite low. You know, stock prices are looking good.
And the ultimate vote of confidence, consumer spending has been on a tear lately. But, says Princeton political historian Julian Zelizer, these objective statistics don't tell the whole story.
I think some of these indicators aren't capturing a lot of the anxiety that exists in this electorate.
Like that the quality of some jobs isn't great, and wages are hardly going up, so people don't feel much better off. And then there's the election itself, volatile, unpredictable, which Michael Strain says may make businesses and consumers hold back on spending, turning the economic picture even murkier as we approach Election Day. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
People willing to brag in public about their investment brilliance are a dime a dozen. A rare specimen is the investor willing to talk about just how wrong he was. But we can learn from our failures. And with this teachable moment is Marketplace regular and Washington Post columnist Alan Sloan. The lesson is about interest rates and a popular way to invest in bonds, bond funds. Mr. Sloan joins us now in a rueful mood. Alan, what was your position on long-term government bond funds?
I was saying you should stay away from them as an investment because interest rates are going to go up and you're going to lose your shirt.
Now, did you say this alone on New Jersey Transit or did you say it in public?
I've said it in public and many people have said it in public.
And what happened though?
Well, what happened was interest rates went down and instead of losing your shirt, if you owned these things, you made a lot of money.
You know, the Fed has been yelling about higher interest rates. You would have figured they would have gone up, but they did not.
No. And I'll give you Janet Yellen's phone number, and you can call her and complain. And after I wrote one of my screeds about how interest rates are going to go up, I got a few emails from people who said, well, you know, I didn't listen to you, and I bought mutual funds that owned long-term treasuries, and I made a ton of money. So I checked, and they were right.
What are the numbers here? I mean, you could have really made money with interest rates not going up like we thought?
For example, one of the Vanguard long-term treasury funds returned to its investors 21.9% for the year that ended in mid-July.
All right. So people listening to this are going to run out and buy a bunch of these investments thinking the principal will continue into perpetuity here.
If you had a time machine and could go back to a year ago and buy this, it would be great. But now if you buy it...
You don't think this is going to repeat?
David, do you think the interest rates will be 1% in a year?
Seems unlikely.
Yeah. And if instead of being 1%, they're say 2.5% or 3%, you're going to lose your behind on this fund because you're going to take a serious loss. And if they stay where they are, your return is going to be 2% because that's what the yield is on the portfolio.
A wonderful lesson in the bond market. Alan Sloan is also editor at large for ProPublica. Thank you.
My pleasure, David.
So a moment there on bonds, which too often get eclipsed by the drama of the stock market. That said, a Bank of America Merrill Lynch survey of fund managers this month finds that not stocks, not bonds, but cash continues to be king. The amount of cash held by fund managers is at the highest level since the fall of 2001, so nearly a 15-year high. Cash may not earn anything, but it does tend to hold its value in uncertain times. That's the logic there. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.